bit.
Welcome to the Uncle Hack Podcast, where dudes pretty much just talk dude shit.
Well, it shows you how much of a... I always say, look at the best way to test whether or not your lover, friend, compadre, take them camping and show them how to problem solve in the elements. You know what I mean? Not like, fuck, my phone doesn't work, fucking bullshit. It's like, oh, it's raining, and we had to set up a tent and watch people cry. Some people lose their shit. Once they're subjected to, like, some reality at a nature level.
And just a little bit of conflict, hey?
A little bit. But conflict that they can't blame you for and that there's falling short of because they got terrible skills in recovery. Yeah, I remember that. That was a defining moment, being at a music festival at Glastonbury Festival, and everybody knew except me it rains at Glastonbury. I thought Vancouver rained. Okay? Like a early April, late February rain, Vancouver. No. It was something worse. It was like 6 feet of water. You can Google it.
Just monsoon sheets coming down?
Monsoon sheets for days. Oh. So much so that these tents that were...
Just be miserable, hey?
Five-foot tents with only like about 6 inches sticking out of the top of muddy water. And I set up a tent in a little bit of a dip, and that's all it takes. Once you add water to a surface... you're going to find out where gravity is in a hurry. And it turned out gravity was dead center of this tent. So what turned into like a rush of some water around a two-man sleeping tent turned into like a fucking waterfall tsunami right underneath the tent where we were lifting up, where the tent was starting. The only thing that was keeping it square to the ground with those four pegs, the rushing water was bumping us up, and then I knew right then the way she was crying, it was time to take another life. And I killed her with a shovel and rolled her up in that fucking tent, and that was the end of it. I still have some of her skin. I had these two wallets made, one for my Siamese brother and one for this kid that has no eyes in my neighborhood, but he knows good leather when he smells it. How are you?
Good. That may be the best introduction we've had on this podcast to date. Now, we're only into episode 5 with the rebrand, but this,
fucking phenomenal. I haven't talked to anybody in a while. I've been in Medio, Saskatchewan with family in a town that I think off season, which I think I'm clearly in, was probably about 30 to 60 people. So
is it a good reset for you, like, to get out of LA and into that again?
Most definitely. And that's part of the reason we talked earlier. I spent a couple weeks, just shy of a couple weeks. I'll do more commitment next time. But a friend of mine from high school, shout out, Near North Log Homes. My friend John, him and his family have cleared this land and been having a log home building company for the last 5 or 6 years. So I was like, well, if I'm coming back to Canada for the summer, which I never really do, it's always a fall thing because I usually take the two sweetest months out of the calendar year and save them for Ontario because there's less travel for me. I don't have to do any airplanes. I can drive as far as Montreal and also as south as like Windsor and cover a lot of clubs, concentration of clubs.
Yeah.
So I knew that wasn't going to be that was not happening. But I'm coming back anyway, and I'm going to pay rent in a city that I grew up in that I hadn't paid rent in almost 3 decades.
Right.
So now I'm forced into this. Fuck, I forgot what we're talking about.
the gummies hitting you.
The gummies. I'm double parked. Why are you pulling it out of my hand? This is not a professional environment. I offer you 3 times. And what you say, hey, man, maybe you should cool it and pull it together.
some people just like to watch the world burn, man.
Thank you. I want a good seat at the fire is what I'm getting at. Yeah. That's what I tell them. Yeah. That's why I'm going back. So What was it, the beginning of that?
Just the reset, like mentally getting the fuck out of LA and then
being back, you know, in the Hammer,
yeah.
Hamilton, Ontario, and no clubs, no stuff. So I'm gonna do some Canadian shit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing some, I want Canadian heritage moment, fucking maple syrup, fishing poles.
Get back to the roots, hey, right where you came from.
I spent, you know, fortunately enough, my grandparents, when I was a kid, had a cottage just north of Huntsville and on Foot Lake. Coincidentally, we're Harlan Williams, Dumb and Dumber fame, cop who drinks the piss.
Yeah, yeah.
Fucking, I love it. He makes me.
Very funny guy.
So funny. And so the guy's a total hoser.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've never seen anybody wave a Canadian banner as hard as Harlan Williams. Like, he does. He goes harder than Mike Myers.
Doesn't Norm MacDonald, he pumps it pretty hard, doesn't he?
He pumps it hard, but he's very diplomatic about it.
Yeah.
Where Harlan is aggressively Canadian. Canadian. Yeah, like, he'll throw in, like, look at, he might have said hi to two of us Canadians on the way into the improv, and then we'll do, like, craft dinner jokes for 10 minutes and no one knows what the fuck he's like. It's so inside. And anyway, yeah, he's like, oh man, he looks like a farmer.
He now does.
Yeah.
And just like, I'm just envisioning, like, remember when he did,
yeah,
hitting that,
his ticks and stuff. Yeah. Drinking daddy's medicine cabinet. Yeah.
Is Canadian.
He'll gush as much. Like, I've had a couple conversations where I'm like, I gotta say, like, you know, Jim Carrey,
mm-hmm.
he's like, Jim's the best, you know, and that's all I needed to hear. But they have, you know, see somebody that has been in some, you know, like Dumb and Dumber and, you know, Pet Detective and stuff, to be just a small part in these iconic comedies with, like, legendary, like, anybody who does a John Candy movies, like,
yeah,
that's it.
Yeah, it's a pat on the back. It's like,
yeah, it's crazy. I'm getting goosebumps because I just watched the Comedy Store documentary, and it's like, you know, I left in May. Things were kind of fucking spun out. I just saw Mr. Bungle.
Right.
I was lucky enough to get a ticket for one of the, like, six shows in the world. And I think four of them were in L.A., two were in New York, or vice versa, anywhere. And, fuck.
When you're, do you?
There we go, folks. Get the hook.
Yeah, there it is. It's just, we're sifting, man.
Yeah,
we're
sifting.
It's all good.
Your patience.
Yeah, no, I'm.
You got Bob Hope on your forearm?
Where's this? Don Cherry?
It's the one on the inside at the bottom.
Right here?
No.
Oh, that's Gordie Howe.
The hockey player.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, referenced on The Simpsons.
Yeah.
Did he make an appearance on The Simpsons? A brief kind of.
I think so. Maybe? Gretzky did for sure. I know that. I don't know if Gordie Howe did.
He did. I think he comes to Homer in a dream.
Really?
I think so. I'm 150 years old, so this is probably episode 4 in the longest running sitcom in the history of television.
100%.
It's Wild West out there, isn't it?
It is, man.
It's so Wild West.
It's getting crazy.
Do you, you know, isn't it cool that you don't have kids?
Yeah, you know what?
Are you getting some thumb screws from the outside?
Yeah. Oh, man. Like.
Oh, no. Run.
I don't have any, but I'm watching, you know, like, you have no kids either, right?
No, it's 38 abortions. And 20 of those I did myself with an ice cream scoop and a ladle. She got kicked up on the sawhorse, and I had to get a what do you call it? Not those speculums, but a pizza cutter.
Get in there nice and.
To get in there nice.
Maybe some breadstick tongs out that you stole from Safeway.
Lick the the round blade. Open it up a little bit. I figure, you know what? If you're going to have your asshole that close to your pussy, why not just put them together? Make your own gravy. Come on. There's a taint there. There's a blocker. You can't just run hole to hole, my lady.
Yeah, no.
And I can see where the scar is, where your balls were, Susan.
Why don't we just open it up,
open these two doors
to the amusement park and make it one big entry?
One big terrible mudslide.
Yeah.
What do you call it? That's a double parked asshole now. Yeah, because once you run shit in the pussy, then there's no coming back.
No, it's...
Unless you're in some basement in Germany and there's techno music playing and there's some guy yells out, there's more herbal laxatives. And everyone starts going, like the ball drop in New York. And then they have the blood rave, but it's it looks like beef bourguignon. Bourguignon? Beef, what you make stew with.
The OXO shit? Is that what you're talking about?
Like beef dip.
Right, right. Yeah.
But it's all stool.
Okay.
And it showers down. I don't know. Have you been to Europe?
Briefly when I was 17.
Oh, okay. Where'd you go?
I went to London, Paris, and then we did... where the fuck is the Leaning Tower? Why can't I think...
France.
The Leaning Tower? Isn't it in...
Paris.
Paris?
It's the Eiffel Tower.
That's the Eiffel.
Leaning Tower's in...
Pisa. I went to
Pisa.
Yeah.
Is that a country?
I believe it's in Italy.
That's right. Yeah. I'm even dumber.
Didn't you tour over there?
No, I've never done Italy. They're not, I grew up, I say I'm from Hamilton, but I spent a lot of time in Stony Creek, was heavily populated Italian area. They fucking hated it. I'm on a skateboard. Mm-hmm. Going through
the fuck you doing?
Oh, where it made Jersey Shore look like a spa. This is like 80s skate punk, like going through it in neighborhood, upper middle class neighborhoods.
Yeah,
with like the same clothes on every day for 10 years.
Right.
Like, this is the most. My friend made fun of me. He goes, you wear the same. You just wear black all the time. I go, I'm wearing camo pants. He goes, that means that you're on holiday. You're wearing camouflage.
Yeah. So, you're on the last leg of laundry day. Hey.
Yeah. No. I'm getting out of my comfort zones. It's my
coloring up the life a little.
I've had panic attacks from putting on blue jeans.
Yeah. Are you a Dickies kind of guy?
No, because they suck. You know, it's like wearing a fucking wet cardboard. I respect the working class kind of like Mark's Work Warehouse. You know, I grew up with Mark's Work Warehouse. Dickies was something that'd come in later.
Oh,
we had the jackets.
Right.
Dickies jackets. I never liked the pants. I think the fits were shit.
Mm-hmm.
And not to mention it was like, you know, it was like you can't wear like cholo... you know, uniform and being Hamilton with a mullet. You know, you can't look like a crypt
and still try and...
No. Latino people say A backward, like not backwards, but in the... They say it first. We say it last.
Hey, what up, vato?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I've never noticed that now that you say that.
Yeah.
Hey, cuz.
That's where I hang out, like in California, the Latino comp, like when I'd first gone to California, it was like being out of my comfort zones. And, you know, there's no like Latino community in Canada. Like,
no, we got Filipinos.
Yeah. And then it's not the same.
No,
it's not the same.
No, maybe totally different.
Tell you that. Totally different.
Totally different.
You know, and so there's shows. I go and watch the shows and go, wow, they vibe in this. Like, everybody dress up. They got smiles. They don't even care. Like, people are so conditioned to stand under pedestals and look at celebrity. They've really come there for the Niagara Falls aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
And in the mix of all that, you get the Dave Chappelle's and Bill. Like, you see the Comedy Store lineups. I'm sure you... Crazy.
At any given night, you could have Joey Diaz and these names that are just phenomenal.
Tom Segura, Christine Brzezinski, you know, it goes on and on and on. So I've lost it again. A squirrel ran by in my head. Damn it.
The Cholo community, Niagara Falls, and the beauty of, like, once you strip back L.A., it seems 10 times cooler than, like, that celebrity shit I could give a fuck about. It's like, I seen this guy on... Time for a little ad. Guess what? You want an extra episode of this podcast? Boom. Go to patreon.com/dangercat69. You'll get two extra episodes a month. That's right. Plus, you will get this episode that you're listening to 48 hours early. That's right. Every episode that I launch on social media or podcast hosting apps and YouTube will be in audio form 48 hours prior to everywhere else. So you get it early, plus extra episodes. And there's also nudity. Now, for the fun part, use the promo code HACK10 at dangercatshop.com and receive 15% off your order. Did I say HACK10? I meant HACK15. Use the code HACK15 for 15% off your order at dangercatshop.com. Forgive me, I'm a moron. Back to the show.
They'll force it on you.
The celebrity and all that?
You're going to, you know, eventually, I don't know what Hollywood and why you would go at this point. Just because, look, at who doesn't want to go sit on Venice Beach and have fun?
I'd want to go to Whiskey A Go Go just to, I'm a huge Crew fan. I like Motley Crue, so I'd want to go there. Yeah, they're my favorite band. And so I'd want to go see a show. My friends, actually, they're in a metal band, Arrival of Autumn, and they got to play there. So I'm like, dude, you just... it was before.
They
they were touring
the
with In Flames.
Down the street.
Yeah,
like that from let's say the Laugh Factory down to the Rainbow Room.
Yeah,
and you know, maybe a little deeper, the Troubadour on that. That area is like that's rock and roll.
Yeah, yeah,
it's rock and roll, and you're seeing it. You're gonna see it in its death rattle.
Yeah,
unfortunately.
Yeah,
they actually do Crew Fest at the Whiskey.
Really?
Do you know a Swedish? Look, at they do Crew covers in their sets called Night Train from Sweden.
No, I don't know them.
If you're a Crew fan and you still follow that genre of metal, I don't know, is it hair metal?
Glam rock, whatever you want to go with, I guess.
Theater
of
Pain.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But you listen to like Shout at the Devil. That doesn't sound, it's more punk rock.
Than it was like
Livewire.
Yeah, I used to always listen to that when I was going to skate comps.
Yeah,
I'd put that in.
Vince Neil actually sounded like he was on cocaine.
Yeah,
instead of whiskey and beer. I coked out Motley Crue. They were lean. They were shiny, like sea lions with the Mad Max attire. Yep. Yeah, no, that was my, you know, my mother threw out my fucking Shout at the Devil tape. Like, my brother's 12 years younger than me, and my mother's like, it's got to go. I got your brother swaying in front of the speaker going, shout at the devil. He's like 6 years old. I thought it was hilarious. I got him to sing all kinds of punk rock songs and stuff before he could even, like, put a sentence together. He could carry melody and memorize sounds.
Yeah.
But then I got the Theater of Pain on vinyl. Like, that was one of my Christmas stocking. I turn it over and I'm like, what is going on?
And then that's when the tight leather pants and the cheetah print came.
Whoa. And I remember an old Poison cassette had ended up, because I never liked it. That was too much. I'd showed it to my brother. I'm like, what girl do you like on this cover? And I'm like, these are all guys. He couldn't wrap his head around it. He's in the black flag.
That problem still exists today.
Yeah. It's like, I think Hannah Montana looks tougher than more boy rock bands.
Yeah.
I think Hannah Montana, Billy Ray Cyrus is, what's her name? Miley?
Miley Cyrus, yeah.
Miley Cyrus could beat up most metalcore bands.
Now?
Yeah.
I'm not really. I'm like,
you're like, is this going to happen tomorrow?
This would be an interesting boxing match. Fucking, I'm not really into, I don't listen to too much newer metal stuff. Like, every now and then I'll drift into something like I was telling you, like my buddies that are in their band and they have their thing going on and they're like gaining more and more exposure.
It's a community support.
Yeah, I
listen
to
a lot of friends that have bands that some of them are, their bands are excellent, they're shitty people or vice versa, you know. But you're kind of like look, if I don't show up, no one's showing up.
Yeah.
Like, someone's got to at least open the door. It's tough. Mm-hmm. Show business in this country is like, it's so much looked at as like a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
If you've got anything bigger than the CBC, then you're a liability. Because mm-hmm. that means that you will not conform and settle in to a mediocrity. That's why it takes like Lorne Michaels to pull Kids in the Hall.
Yeah.
You know, out of obscurity. They were in there getting ready to quit. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And all so many comedians in this country just it just fades out. Or, you know, I don't know. I guess they're happy doing corporates.
I can't, like,
come on.
I couldn't see.
I know, but I've had guys like that say the same thing, and they've end up. And they look at these guys that got kids, and look at, they got big financial responsibilities that they have. There's no pissing around,
mm-hmm.
and they got to keep people alive. But I don't understand the rebellious anarchist aspect of stand-up comedy that you would not want to carry through the rest of your career. I don't know.
Like, it's almost like watching that punk rock guy that you grew up with put on a suit, right?
I saw Henry Rollins on a 50-story Calvin Klein ad in New York.
Yeah.
It hurt
a little, didn't it?
I saw Iggy Pop in a insurance ad in England.
Come on.
As a puppet, talking to himself as a puppet. You can Google all this, by the way. It was insurance, Iggy Pop. A lot of these, you know, Willie Nelson had to do Taco Bell commercials. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Smoked with a huge insurance thing. And, you know, people have had to make moves. Yeah, you know, that the thing is, don't have kids.
The moral of the story.
Don't have kids and you won't have to be a fucking whore.
Yeah, exactly. Or change. I don't know.
Be a gangster. Own that shit.
Like us. That's no cool. Kids.
Yeah.
You know?
I love this. Staff is very busy in this office. I came in, I thought it was a laundry room. I'm like, I smell bounce sheets in here. Yeah.
It's covering up the scent of dead dreams of the office next door.
A comedian friend of mine has a similar setup,
mm-hmm.
and as I told him and I told you earlier, this is it. This is You Inc.
Yeah.
Incorporated now.
Do you like watching everything? Like, cause you've been in the game for a minute now, and like, do you like watching it kind of go a little more rogue again? And like,
totally.
Yeah.
This is what I've been patiently. Is it like a sniper?
yeah.
You know, I never, you know, I only spent a half a year of my life every year for the last almost 15 years in the States to fuck shit up.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Fuck, I forgot the question again. I was looking at your Maple Leaf.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I just haven't seen a lot of Canadian shit in a while, so
you got to soak it in, eh? Getting that snow back in the system and all that.
What were we talking about?
Like, like how everything is just kind of going back to that rogue, like, you know what I mean? Like your shit going on and...
Because it's not a team sport, and I think a lot of teams were collected. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of camps.
Yeah.
And some of them were very financially driven, and some of them were, mm-hmm. You know, with the climate, and there was like branches, you know, of different teams.
Mm-hmm.
And now all that shit got flatlined. So as the rats were jumping off the boat, now you've really just got people who really are in it for real.
Yeah.
And that. What are those bombs that go off that just make your ears ring?
Flashbangs.
Flash bomb.
Yeah.
That's what's happened. So it wasn't really directed at anybody. It just went off in the middle of the industry.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's like, oh, fuck, my ears are ringing, but I'm still going to go on stage. And the other guy's going, I'm going to the hospital. My toe hurts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, my eye's missing, but, you know, the show must go on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've seen the movie Bronson?
Yes.
And he's talking about how he gets his foot caught in the grade,
mm-hmm.
and what the kid drowned. And he'd say, cut it off.
Yeah.
Got to cut it off. That's how I lost my fifth testicle. High on acid watching Bronson. I cut it off.
Had enough of that fucking thing annoying
me. Carpet knife and a wood-burning kit. Cut it out my own ball.
Now, were you able to get the sack back? Like,
I got the sack back. It looks I got the sack back. I got the sack back. I stitched it up with a hockey lace and a fish hook that I found in the urinal at a truck stop. I think it was a Prince Albert, but it was sharp. So I ran it through the old burnt mushroom. Oh, I need to get some pussy. Does this town have a hole?
There might be. Actually, behind this curtain.
Yeah.
You just shove your cock through this hole, what? Right?
I'm not falling for that guy again. He always uses tricks me with his asshole. I'm like, that's not a mouth. Unless you eat chocolate all the time, sir.
It's just the dentures got popped out.
These are the worst chairs for podcasting, by the way, because they're leather.
Oh, so you're getting you got leather on leather going.
I feel like people are listening going, he's fingering himself on a beanbag chair. That's what's happening here. But you can't hear the wet noise, just the dry fingers over the chicken skin.
Some hard chafing.
Yeah. Well, you're on the show tonight.
I am?
You are, right? Or tomorrow?
No, next week I'll be with you.
Okay, I thought you were doing spots here in your hometown.
I kind of been doing like, I've been trying and I've been going to the open mic draws and everything and trying to get my name and trying to
embarrass yourself in front of a paid audience.
Yeah.
Yeah, good for you.
Yeah, I'm trying to iron out my jokes and all that. And it's coming together, I feel like, you know, but
I'll show you something and I've shown it to a hand, like the first like 5 years of my career, mm-hmm. I kept a journal of the date, the show, how much time I did I make any money? There was a very simple thing. So it really gave you a kind of a graph,
okay.
Which was like a best case scenario. I went from reluctantly, forcefully, in from amateur night to headliner in, I think, 3.5 years.
Wow.
So leading up to that, I kept a very detailed, I kept every show up until a certain point. You can see where I've kind of lost interest in it.
Mm-hmm.
But I show young people or people starting in this journey that look at how many shows I was doing a month. Look at how much money was accumulated. How much time. You have no idea. The back and forth, this, that, and the other thing. Mm-hmm. There is a lot of hours logged in for you to go and look terrible for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And consistently, it's a very kind of a horseshoe. Then you're heating it up, and you're hammering it, and then throw it in a pile. Next, and that's your life.
Mm-hmm.
For the rest of that time, your process is in a sweaty, lonely place, hammering iron with a fucking oven blaring in your face. People are telling you you're not going to do it. This is that. Somebody booed you. Your wife has left you now because you're spending too much time with losers. Because the majority of it is, which you've clearly realized, a lot of these guys, quote, open micers, are fucking losers.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
They're fucking losers, okay? It's not specific to Edmonton, but they're certainly here.
Mm-hmm.
They're very short-sighted. It's very, like that click, the clubhouse click thing. It's like a weird kind of emotional codependency amongst 6 to 30 people. And you'll see all the hang-around holes, hobbyists, pain in the ass, fucking losers, cluttering up the fucking lineups by bombing every fucking week for 5 years.
Yeah.
You've never done well. Everyone hates you. Kill yourself. Because there's somebody who's willing to do the horseshoe hammer for years to accumulate. Like, oh, look, maybe in a year I'll get 5 minutes.
Mm-mm.
Oh, 5 minutes would be great. Wouldn't you love 5 killer minutes?
Fuck yeah, man. Like,
if someone said, look, we're going to take you in a shed and beat you with a phone cord for a day, but we're going to give you the gift of 5 bulletproof. Carson ready, I don't know, okay, comedy store ready material, you go, you know what, I'll take the fucking beating.
Mm-hmm. 100%, man.
Right? This, even at the 2 month stage, you're like, oh man, there's so much more horse shit to shovel.
Mm-hmm.
This is crazy, and I don't even want. I gotta go through that guy's pile too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh no, I'm gonna die alone.
Yeah,
yeah. It's amazing.
It's a ton of fun though.
But listen, it will take you all kinds of strange places and meet all kinds of interesting people. Mm-hmm. And trust me on that.
Well, yeah, I mean, like you've been, like we've been talking, you've been in the game, and look at the cool things that you got to, like you got to meet Slayer from. I watched the interview with you and Slayer
Festival.
Yeah,
and Europe really embraced what I'd kind of had in my pocket leading up to my move to England.
Okay,
and the amount of places, like you'd be like in these very dingy, like places that look condemned. And the audience would be staring at the stage like they would be paid to see Shakespeare.
Yeah.
Like they're very into comedy.
Yeah.
Very into live performance, artists, you know. They were very into it. And you could see the arts festival lineups. Like how many people? Oh, 130,000 people come to this one. I'm like, what? You guys do comedy there? At the Glastonbury Festival? I'd only seen The Prodigy play on an old Much Music thing and go, whoa.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm doing show there. And they listen. Oh, yeah, they're there. There's a six-hour show, stand-up show, hosted by two guys. They do 3 hours a piece. I think it might have been longer. Some of them were longer. Where if you got the hosting gig,
mm-hmm.
you were there in front of, like, Fury Road. Like, it's as pirate as you get.
Wow.
But you went from zero to hero in a matter of seconds. You'd see people, audiences turning on comedian. There's a video of Doug Stanhope being booed at the festival that I interviewed Redding, yet the audience was so fucked up and off their heads all the time that it was anybody's night.
Mm-hmm.
Like you'd see some of the best comedians standing backstage going, oh, fuck. You know, someone threw a dildo on stage one time. Like
at you?
At me.
No way.
A fan. You know what I mean? Like, that was like, my friend broke his neck doing stupid shit. He'd got one of these, we call them wheelie bins, plastic garbage cans.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah.
Trucks hook and they swing up.
Yeah, yeah.
And put a banquet table from the stage to the barrier in this tent with about 5,000 people in it. Just a comedy show. It's fucking crazy. People are coming out. Fucking, you know, they gave out a garbage bag of mushrooms to the audience one time. A bunch of people freaked out. Like some company donated trash bags of mushrooms, and first timers are gobbling them up and bugging out.
Ooh.
In the middle of a comedy show, people are just, ah, man, ah, yeah. Just, yeah. And people are like, this isn't fun anymore. Why is everyone dying?
It's just so fucking chaos, eh?
Totally chaos. But respect, people bump into you. It's pardon me. Like, it was a very festival etiquette. Everybody come there from all over the world not to be an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the most, that's why I really started drinking again. Because it was like, oh, these are the Ivy League alcoholics.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
these guys have suits and, you know, 10 grand worth of clothes with puke on them on the subway on a Wednesday on the way home from work. And I'm sitting there going, you know what? I'm doing okay. Things yeah. are good. I seen guy holding onto his briefcase face down on the platform. This is lunch. You know, I was like, these guys got money and they're a mess. Like, yeah. This is awesome. So, yeah, going to all these, you know, unconventional places that were like, oh, we've been doing stand-up here for 10 years in this old church in Scotland.
Mm-hmm.
And we get all the local people show, like all these weird, all kinds of interesting places, the fucking backdoor dungeon-y, after-hours clubs, music festivals. But yes, to answer your question in a long, drawn-out, I'd like to thank our non-sponsors, the Laughing Monkey. Take one more and that's it.
Then that's it.
That's maybe three. Anyway, I'm in Edmonton doing all the chewing. I'm just gonna swallow this.
It's all good.
It sounds terrible on the mic.
I think they'll appreciate it.
You want to see Motley Crue cover bands at the Whiskey, don't you?
You know what? I wouldn't hate it. I wouldn't hate it.
You're going to find, I call Hollywood Goof City.
Yeah?
It's totally Goof City. I bought friends of mine, you know, come over from Canada,
mm-hmm.
very much like yourself, and like, the guy just told me his life, like, what he's doing. Like, I just met the guy, and he's giving me his resume. Like, it's very, they have their card, their business card on their face. Very intrusive.
It's a cocksuck, negative, like, everybody's trying to jerk one another off.
It's a kind of puffed up, no one cares. I didn't ask. You didn't, like, anyway.
Did you find when you got there, like, going from, like, obviously, Canada, very different. And like even Hamilton as a city is totally different than L.A.
I was living in England.
Oh, you went
to... I was living in England for 5 years, almost 6 years. I was living in London.
Oh, okay.
So when I went from like the tail end of the kind of collapse of the European comedy scene, like they lost 70% of their live comedy venues in the United Kingdom the first month of COVID. Oh. And I was there up until 2005, I think I left. Mm-hmm. And fuck. Squirrels again, buddy.
So
this ran over my ankle.
It's all good. It's all good.
Fucking Europe. What? Oh, I'm having a stroke.
It's that fucking it's that laughing monkey. It's not a squirrel. It's a laughing monkey.
Damn your monkey. Maybe this will love me out. I found this cup of piss at a 7-Eleven on the steps. And somebody likes asparagus. Wow. It's like tang.
Yeah.
But with blood in it.
So it has that to it. You not know, a
that was a bad idea.
Yeah.
I'm gonna get what he's got or she's got. All of them.
Or maybe you already have it and you're doubling down.
Oh jeez. I know. I think I had it. AIDS.
Just briefly?
No, I did briefly. Actually for about 2 weeks. I thought I had AIDS for 2 weeks.
And then turned out it was just COVID.
No. I've been sleeping with this girl. And she had been in a lesbian relationship for like a committed relationship for a few years. So she hadn't been with a guy in a number of years.
Right.
And we were pretty serious. We were dating for a while. And she'd been going through some blood work at the time and calls me and says, hey, you know, you might want to get to the doctor. I found out that we got the clap. And it's inconclusive, but it might be, we might have a rare strain of HIV-2.
Ooh.
And I'm like, what? Which meant my previous girlfriend had been cheating on me, and she might have given me AIDS.
Yeesh.
Yeesh is right. So I go to the hospital, do my check, and there's a, I think 12 working days, I think is what they said. So there was almost a 2-week period where I was like, oh. And then when they told me, I was like, oh, it's AIDS 1, not 2.
Woo! Dodge that bullet.
I want to be first. I want to be number 2 at anything. Turns out it was just the clap and that woman, I could never look her in the eye again. And I despised my ex for jeopardizing my health with her promiscuous fucking whole behavior.
Yeah.
Oh. And women are the worst. I say in L.A., women are worse than British children. They're like the shit cunts. See what it is I'm hating.
Mm-hmm.
They're hustlers. These girls are gangster.
Oh, it's clawing up, hey? It's
totally.
Clawing up kind of bitches?
It's like there's so much scratching at the door.
Mm-hmm.
You can't hear yourself think. So it's just a weird white nervous noise of like, pussy and excess. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's such a fucking whole hustle. But it's all like, it's a leveragey thing where people, in, like I said, in Europe, they just fuck you because it's funny.
Mm-hmm.
I think a bunch of girls have fucked me as a joke. Right? Right? You're not going to believe my rock bottom.
What a horrible punchline. Yeah, hey, wow, I got fucked on this deal.
I just see six girls, and two of them are in the wheelchairs, all in a circle in the room discussing their fuck stories with me and going, yeah, I wanted to kill myself too. I've never seen anybody rub their own shit on their gums and then try and kiss you. I had to keep a hard on. I panicked. I went to a power move that I'd only heard about on the internet. The Mr. Mud Whiskers.
Do explain.
I'm not teaching my workshop for free.
Forgive me. Forgive me.
You know I do my seminars. I'm a regular Anthony Robbins down at the local glory hole. He's using his asshole. Brush your teeth. Yeah. Oh, man. Anyway, yeah, no. I have a movie out on Amazon.
Yes.
Did you see the trailer?
I did watch the trailer.
I'm in more of the movie than the trailer. Look, it's a kind of, Saw meets The Runaways. Mm-hmm. It's all-girl punk rock band, and I do some terrible shit. That's all you need to know. I'm not much of the trailer, but I've just kind of left it. People come back to me with... I didn't want to lead anybody into pandering to anything that I might want to hear. It's one of those things that... I'm not the driving force of this thing, so I'm not completely liable, mm-hmm. but I'm also very much a part of it. So a
big supporting actor in it?
I'm a starring lead.
Oh,
so there's
perfect.
There's a... me and the girls in the band are kind of the main antagonists and so on. But yeah, it's all right.
How was it? Oh, excuse me. How was it getting into film?
I didn't get into film. I made a blood pact with a young director in Toronto in early 2000.
Mm-hmm.
Him and his girlfriend, who eventually married Hugh Hefner.
Oh.
She and him they'd show up at my shows. And I'm like, this guy's too well-dressed to be a fan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's either like girls that look like you that usually come to my show. Except a little bigger in the chest.
A little bigger in the chest. And more facial hair.
More hair and like some sort of eyebrow piercing.
Yeah.
Fuck a squirrel again. Damn it. Damn you, funky monkey.
The fucking producer or director. Oh.
So
yeah,
anyway,
from Toronto.
I said, look it, I'm doing this special, this Comedy Now special. You've come down to the clubs, come and see me do my 8 Mile. Mm-hmm. This is as much as I'm gonna have on television in Canada, probably for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
An hour. And really, I have really nothing to show anybody in the country after that. That's really going to be my business card for the next decade if I'm present. So if anything, this is kind of like putting my chip on the table. Like all I do is stand up. This is the best case scenario.
Yeah.
I know that you are you're a director and a writer. Those are the people I want to work with. And that also have seen some sort of evolutionary aspect of me. So they're not told, because at a glance, a lot of people are very dismissive and freaked out, as they should be. It's fucking crazy. Like the amount of shit of things they do is appalling, right?
It's blue comedy at its finest.
It is a hate fuck with a shit covered knife.
Yeah.
Is what my aunt got tattooed across her back when she was in the prison making wallets out of bunions from old dykes that used to fuck themselves with Old Spice bottles and brew cologne. Like Old Spice, and you know. I do it at the workshop.
You know.
You see my puppet shows. Check me out on Zoom. I do a puppet show called Daddy's Finger. And it's just a shit-covered glove with a hole for the thumb. And it just kind of goes around the corner. And then I just fum-fuck people when they're sleeping. Ah! I'm awake now! Face the wall. I got an act 2 in this play. But yeah, your comedy career is going to suck for like a good couple of years.
And I like how you transition from thumbs going in an ass and, oh, by the way.
Yeah, that's show business. Show business is a thumb up the ass. But eventually you start pushing back and show them who's boss.
Yeah.
As they do at customs. They've tried to look for things, but what they don't know is daddy pushes back.
Mm-hmm. It's like... That one almost flew over my head.
No, they haven't said anything to my ass. If you, when they say take off your shoes and you just take off all your clothes from the waist down, you don't even have to go through the metal detectors anymore. They're just like, that guy's so hard right now and is not scared. Because no one will fight you if you're erect.
No.
No.
And
it's better than a gun, right? You get people to move. You walk into a public, like a subway, with a heart on, and you're not touching it. You can't touch it. Then it becomes like you're sexualizing it.
It's getting
just like, oh, I think I broke my back. Because that's what happens when you break your back. They check for erections.
For real?
Yeah.
Are you fucking with me here?
You can Google this. Nurses will immediately, if you've had a spinal injury, they'll check you for wood.
Really?
Yeah.
So then
sometimes the guy will blow you too. Those ambulance drivers will do anything for a ball of gin. No, but it's true. You do get a erection, and your foreskin grows back. Isn't that weird? Huh. So I'm double parked. It looks like an apple fritter with a band up McDonald's straw shoved through the middle of it. Oh, it smells like burning hair. And they're like, you should sit down for that. It won't splash so much.
Yeah, let me just get out my Prince Albert that I found in the
fuck it. Throw me that beer bottle opener. I'm just going to pull it through.
Good old classic party trick for the fellas.
You know what, Prince Albert? That's like a whole, like, that's another level of, like, some sort of, it's more than body mod. When you start hammering on your Thumbelina.
Yeah. I lived with a guy that had one, and then he had the tip of his dick was tattooed with flames around it, and his ongoing joke all the time was like, my dick's on fire, and then whip out his hog, and then he'd have just the helmet had flames coming off it. I'm like, that is the most insane thing I've ever seen.
But how did he lose his teaching job?
That's a long story.
Yeah, that's a weird one. Like, all the dicks out, like... I was naked on Swedish television, but I don't get any of the press that a lot of these other guys, dick whippers, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I used to do all kinds of shit.
Yeah, you used to have a pretty crazy show, hey?
I tried to. You know? I got bored so easy, and they needed to be shaken up. There was such a dry area that I'd kind of seen, like, it took me a while to kind of make the commitment to move out to Vancouver in 93, meet Seth Rogen. He'd started comedy.
Yeah.
The same, I think a few months before I had. And commit to do, there goes squirrels again. Did we do it? What happened?
Did we do it? Met Seth Rogen?
Seth was doing open mics and stuff when I was in Vancouver at that time when I'd first moved there. And now I'm in Edmonton.
Yeah. the fucking monkey strikes again.
It's the laughing monkey. No, I haven't smiled this much in 4 years. It must be a sativa.
Except maybe after a puppet show.
Oh yeah, Uncle's Thumb. Do you watch kid shows?
Define kid show. Like an elementary school window. Is that considered a television screen? Or are we getting a little off track?
Like, I always love, especially when I travel, I'll show people the most obscure, like 80s kids Canadian TV shows, Saturday morning, mostly Ontario stuff that I'd grown up with.
Yeah.
And I love showing them to people Because they'll show me, like in Sweden, they have, like, Pippi Longstocking is, like, a big thing. And this Carlson Patagets and all these kind of, like, very uniquely Swedish or country-based children's characters. And mm-hmm. when I show them Lula's Hobo, like, for example, okay, you watch Letterkenny.
Yeah.
I don't.
I watched the first two seasons, and after that, that was it for me.
Casey Corbin and Boomer Phillips used to be roommates. Boomer was on Letterkenny, and Casey's in Calgary right now doing shows, I think. And I had some friends come over from Finland, comedians. Mm-hmm. Usually when I travel and stuff, they'd start asking me questions about Canada. I go, listen, there's no money. You can have all the stage time you want.
Yeah.
And I'd love to show you guys around. Mm-hmm. My friend, he's a comedian. The only stipulation of staying at his house is you have to leave a headshot on the wall. So they had a collection of all the comedians that stayed. And they were mostly people I just dumped on them. They didn't even know they were getting housecasts from Europe. All of a sudden, these people they'd never met before, but they were comics. And I really, you know, I counted 13 different comedians that stayed on my couch in England because a hotel room's $600 Canadian a night. Whew. You know what I mean? So, squirrels again.
the Swedish guys?
Oh.
Yeah.
So showing. Yeah. So they'd make these little home videos. Long story short, they have three Finnish comedians sitting in their living room and them giving probably a 45-minute lecture on the story of the Lula's Hobo. Uh-huh. And then ask them if they want to see an episode and take the theme song from Lula's Hobo and play it over a girl getting fucked on her back by a German shepherd. It may be tomorrow. And this chick, and they're changing up positions. And the Finnish guys are like, this is Canadian? Like, they couldn't believe it. I was dying. But, you know, being European, they weren't like flabbergasted. They were like, ah, we didn't know this about you. You know, Canadians have to stay warm somehow. This chick was getting drilled by a German shepherd. This dog had been through the ringer before with this lady, but
yeah, he knew he had the scoop, eh? He
totally knew the drill.
Yeah.
He knew where the camera was. Like, he was kind of mugging. Like, can you believe this chick? She's letting me fuck her. I'm wrong. This is crazy. Like, tongue hanging out.
Yeah.
Banging her.
I always love it when she doesn't put peanut butter on her pussy.
Where do you get in your life where someone fires up the camera and goes, hey, you want to do something crazy? She's like, what? We're all out of, you know, beer. Yeah. Well, I stole this dog. And I've been holding the gun to its head to try and keep it hard. Can you fuck it? But you got to worry, because what's going on, I don't know if you can see in that video, but I'll send it to you. In the reflection of the dog's eye, you can see a guy with a gun under his chin beating off while she's fucking the dog. And I hated doing it to those people. But, you know, when you apply for things on Craigslist, do your research. You know what I mean? I said deep tissue massage at gunpoint, .. from behind with a dog.
Did they get the job done, though?
They got the job done. Oh, somebody's taking pictures for the police report.
Oh.
What time is it, by the way?
We've burnt up a good hour. Yeah. I think it's roughly, you got a show tonight.
I got to go bomb in front of 9 people in a fucking casino in Edmonton, Alberta. Yeah. But after coming out of Saskatchewan, that's like Vegas for me right now. So I'm looking forward to that. Yeah, show tonight, tomorrow, and then 3 shows, Halloween weekend. Sam Walker, Brett Forte.
Yeah.
You'll be down.
I'll be down on the Thursday. Yeah.
I'll be there all week, and then I'll fly back to Los Angeles, and then watch for shows in Texas.
Yeah.
Early next year. So
that's exciting, man.
Watch my movie on Amazon Prime Canada. It will be a global release, I think, in April. But Spare Parts, Jason Rouse 666. Check out my podcast, Jason Rouse's Safe Word, and go fuck yourself. Thanks for having me walk through the snow and almost break my ankles and dog shit slippery shoes. I'm in denial. Like, I saw snow on the way in, and now I'm seeing snow on the way out. So
thank God.
I bookend my Canadian summer to the edge.
That you've overstayed then at this point, hey?
I'm literally 30 days past fun.
Yeah.
I'm over it.
It's time to fucking.
It's 27 in LA.
Yeah.
And it's low of 18.
And there's nobody in the fucking streets annoying
Dude,
you.
Dude, I'll see you in Hollywood at a Motley Crue cover band show and I'll laugh at you because I'm going to be so high like this time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've had my eyes open the whole time. I've just been kind of slumped over. Just like Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah, just going through the motions, hey?
Yeah, that was a crazy one. That was a good movie. But yeah, there's shows, there's stuff coming this way through there and that one.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the name of this again?
This is the Uncle Hack podcast, my friend.
Uncle Hack. Okay, yeah. Because you were still under...
Danger Cats.
Okay, because that's what I saw.
Yeah, yeah.
Every bong shop I go to in the West Coast has your sticker on the window.
Really?
There's a lot of them, yeah.
No
just,
way.
Just in Medio, a huge one. And some of your merchandise.
Really?
Bunch of shirts and hoodies.
Crazy. I did not know that. You've taught me something about my own shit.
I'll actually, my cousin who took me that,
mm-hmm.
I'll send you the address. But they had the Def Leppard sticker. About that wide on the front window, and then just behind the window they had the Raw one pieces, the Snuggies, and some t-shirts, and then it was all Danger Cat stuff.
No way.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Is someone
man.
Bootlegging your shit?
Maybe.
You never know, right?
Yeah, you never know. And like if
the
they
sticker
are
kind of legitified it.
Mm-hmm.
It looked like one of your stock stuff, oversized Def Leppard Danger Cats one.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm not telling you, got a Death Row shirt on.
Yeah.
Suge Knight was walking down Sunset Boulevard. He used to come in the Comedy Store.
Mm-hmm. I think Did you get to perform for him?
No. I wish. There was a little bit of a fade out. I think Suge had come with Tupac one night and some guns had got pulled out during one of the shows.
Yeah.
And Brian Holtzman got knocked out by Eddie Griffin's bodyguard or something. Anyway, we're going to go eat something, I think.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me.
No problem, man. Thank you very much for coming on the show, Jason.
My pleasure.
And yeah, I'm stoked, man. I'm stoked to have you here and chat comedy.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure, you know, I'm going to be back this way. I got my 25th anniversary show,
mm-hmm.
which will be in Vancouver, June 25th. So I'll start be making my way across the country in that, and I'm sure we'll do this again.
Absolutely.
Or even better yet. When you show up in the States and you can come and do my podcast, take you around the comedy scene.
Absolutely.
See what's left of it.
Yeah, that would be amazing. Yeah. I would love every ounce of that, dude.
Totally.
Fuck yeah. Well, thanks again, man.
Enjoy your next year and a half of failures.
I can't wait to just eat spoonfuls of shit night after night.
Yeah, you develop a taste for it.
Mm-hmm.
And then when people put it in front of you, you're like, is that all of it?
That's it?
Yeah. I'm please hold the bun. I just want this from the tap.
Oh, fuck yeah. Thanks again, man. I truly appreciate it, you taking time before the show, dude.
My pleasure.
Hell yeah.
Cool.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Fuck yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah.